In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Holy and righteous God, our dear Heavenly Father, as we have come this beautiful winter day to hear the word and message of your kingdom, we turn to thee in prayer and thanksgiving. We thank thee, dear Father, that you have given everything in our temporal lives, our homes and families, our dear brothers and sisters in faith, our jobs, and everything we have comes from your gracious hand. So we humbly thank thee, dear Father. We pray this morning for those that are sorrowing over the loss of loved ones, or those that are sorrowing over trials of life, or any matter that is distressing. We ask that you would comfort them, you would encourage them and strengthen them. We pray on behalf of those that have lost the way to heaven, and for those that have not known where to find grace here upon the earth. We ask that you would affect in their hearts the need to believe your word. Lead them into the hearing of your word. And we ask all according to your will. We ask that you would open your word unto us this morning for our strengthening of faith and for your honor and glory. And for all this we ask, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus. Amen. We will pause before the Holy Word of God, as the Apostle Paul has recorded in the first letter to the Thessalonians, the fourth chapter, verses 1 through 12. And the words are, in Jesus' name, as follow. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that you be and that you study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that you walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. Amen. This portion of scriptures is one of the texts that is noted for the Sunday. And the theme which is associated with this text on the calendar is prayer and faith. We began our service this morning with a prayer unto God. Prayer is one of those well-used tools that we have as believers. The Bible teaches us about prayer, and it says that Jesus explained about prayer in a sermon on top of a large hill or a mountain. And he explained it in this way, that he says, God doesn't hear your prayers because of many words or perfect words, but that God wants us to pray from our heart. It's the manners of our heart that we express unto God. The Apostle Paul, when he was living here upon this earth, he traveled to many localities, and it's so preciously recorded in scriptures, the happenings of his travels. We today also hear of the travels of our brothers and sisters, and sometimes when they come back, actually, I would say all of us, when we know somebody has been on a trip and they come back, they always want to tell us of the things that happened. And we oftentimes are curious to find out what happened. So the Apostle Paul, his trips that he made, there's a theme that runs through all his letters of the places he traveled to that are recorded in these holy scriptures. As I'm looking here this morning at this pulpit Bible, there's these two bookmarkings, and they're red. And we could say this morning that the common thread that runs through the Holy Scriptures is the blood drops of our Lord Jesus. And that's the common thread that runs through all the letters of the Apostle Paul, was the merit work of our Lord Jesus. Certainly, in some of his letters, he writes of difficult things that he had to endure. He was severely beaten many times. But he continued onward. God gave him the knowledge of the reward that waited, if he could endeavor in faith until the end. This book of Thessalonians was on Paul's second missionary trip At least that is what is written in the preface to this book of Thessalonians. I think the congregation of Thessalonica was the majority of the believers there were Gentile believers. We remember, and we can read in God's Word, that when Paul made those missionary trips, he often, the first place he visited was to a synagogue. The synagogue, the local synagogue, that gathering place of the Jewish people. And he, because he loved his own people, the Jewish people, remember that Paul was a Jew. He wanted to explain unto them the mystery of the kingdom of God. Paul understood what it was like to travel in the self-righteous ways of the world. He thought in his self-righteousness that he was doing God's work. And we would have to think today that it has not changed. Those that are attending worship services this morning in other denominations or faiths, we would have to think that they think that they're worshiping our Heavenly Father in the right way. And so it was for the Apostle Paul, but when Jesus met him on the way to Damascus, he struck him blind. Paul understood that faith or that endeavor that he was journeying in was a dark way. There was no hope at the end of that life, at the end of that way. And so it was that Paul was given grace to believe. God sent a child of God unto the Apostle Paul to preach that glad tidings of joy, that you can believe your sins are forgiven. Even that sin of unbelief was forgiven unto the Apostle Paul. He had persecuted the believers of God. He had made it difficult for many believers. But it was all forgiven under the name and blood of Jesus. And from that day then began his journey of faith. True faith, living faith. It wasn't a demanding faith any longer, but it was a faith of love and hope. When Paul was in Thessalonica, he began to preach of the kingdom of God. The Jewish people, or many of the Jewish people, didn't want to hear of it. But the Gentile people, they believed his sermon. They believed his message. They believed their sins were forgiven. And so it was that their journey of life and faith began under the name and blood of Jesus. Paul was he was chased out of that city of Thessalonica. You know, if I can remember it, in the Acts of the Apostles, it speaks of what happened to Paul while he was there in that city. (Clears throat) From the beginning of the 17th chapter of Acts, it says in this way, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. There was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures." So we can see that Paul based all his teachings on God's Word. Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. So he began to preach unto the Jewish people of that fulfillment of the promise of God, that Christ, the Savior, whom they didn't believe, had yet been born into this world. They were still waiting for Jesus. And we can say today that the vast majority of the countrymen of Paul are still waiting. But so it was 2,000 years ago, soon after the departure of Jesus. Paul, he spoke unto the Jewish people. And he said, that I preach unto you Christ Jesus. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. And of the devout Greeks, a great multitude. So there were a few Jews that believed that sermon. But it says here that of the devout Greeks, a great multitude. And of the chief women, not a few. So there were many people there that heard the sermon of faith, and they believed it. But then it goes on to say, but it says, "But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people." So we can see here that the Jewish people that heard this sermon of Paul, it certainly touched their life. Many of them, it didn't touch in the ways I would guess that Paul had hoped. But it did touch their life. It revealed unto them the direction of their life. To all of them it revealed that. Those that had, it revealed unto them of their sin and the need for grace. It was granted unto them. But then there was others that it was revealed unto them their direction, and it made them angry. They didn't like it. They didn't want to hear it. And so they moved with envy. Apparently, they became jealous of the Apostle Paul, as though the Apostle Paul and his own skill or precise words was able to make men believe. We know, dear brothers and sisters, that there's not such perfect words that will make man believe. That is, such perfect words of man themselves. But there are perfect words that can make men believe, but the power in those words belongs to our Heavenly Father through His Spirit. Those words can make men believe, but if there's no power, if there's no Holy Spirit, they're only words, even if they're in our minds we would say that they're enticing words. But so it was that the Apostle Paul, in his faithfulness to God, began to speak of the kingdom of God. the work of our Lord Jesus. And so he wrote the letter to the Thessalonian believers. The vast majority of them were, as the Bible says, were of the Gentile nation. They weren't of the Jewish heritage. They were like you and I. Maybe there's some here this morning that are of the Jewish heritage, I don't know. But I would say the vast majority of us are the Gentile people. And so the Apostle Paul, he understood the pagan ways of the Gentile people. Many of them had lived in outward sin. But they had repented of those ways and they began to follow after the kingdom of God. Follow after the teachings of the Apostle Paul and the other apostles. And that preaching was centered on the merit work of Jesus Christ. And so it was that Paul was chased out of that city of Thessalonica because of the angry hatred that the Jews had towards him. And what was the source of such angry hatred? You, dear brothers and sisters, I'm sure you're not much different than I, and I become angry. I hate to admit it, but it's true. I anger oftentimes overtakes me. And when that spirit of anger is there, it's a powerful. It certainly is a controlling spirit. You dear mothers and fathers, I'm sure you're not much different than I and your children when they do those things that are not right. Oh, the anger so quickly comes to the surface. And so it was that the anger of the Jews towards Paul was such that they didn't want to hear what he had to say and they chased him out of that city. And so it was that the Apostle Paul then continued on his journey but then he wrote to these believers that had been newly converted. He had sent Timothy there to strengthen them in faith and to teach them of the doctrine of the kingdom of God. And then Timothy had come and met Paul and he gave them this, I suppose he, as we already mentioned, when we go on a trip, we would like to explain what happened there. And so Timothy, he came to the Apostle Paul and he began to tell Paul of the good fruits of those believers there in Thessalonica. They believed, they accepted the Word of God and it changed the direction of their lives. They went from ways of worshiping sin and filth and living in all manner of sin unto the way of faith. And so that was a good message that the Apostle Paul had received from his brother in faith, Timothy. And so it was that he wrote this letter to them. There, we could say that it's an instructional letter unto a child of God. And if you, dear brothers and sisters, have time to read this afternoon, read this letter. It's only 5 chapters. It explains unto us how our endeavor of faith should be. Certainly we know, at least I know how I should behave and how I should believe in many ways. And in many ways I needed to be taught again. That's right. That's how my life of faith should be. And it hasn't been that way. And so we can put matters away and continue to believe in the way of faith. And so it is that the Apostle Paul wrote this letter, and it, beginning of our letter says in this way, the fourth chapter, the beginning verse, it says, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more." So we can see here that the teachings of the Apostle Paul were not different than the teachings we receive in the kingdom of God today. That the teachings of how we ought to walk, how we ought to endeavor, how we ought to believe. "And for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication." Now, fornication is one of those words maybe we don't talk about very often. Maybe we use different words for that topic, but fornication is that word that speaks about improper sexual relations. Improper it's a sin of lust is what it is. It's the result of lust. We as sinful people battle against all type of sin. Our nature's I would say even, well, I can only speak for myself, but my endeavor of faith is, it's a battle in many ways. And I'll have to even say it's, even lust is a battle that I, as a weak servant of God, battle. And maybe you have to confess this morning that that's a battle for your life of faith. And today's time that we live, it's so easy to fall. The devil he has so many tools to make us fall. And so it wasn't any different 2,000 years ago when the Apostle Paul had to instruct the Thessalonian believers. The Bible says that there's no new thing under the sun. And so the Apostle Paul says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as in Gentiles, which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner. So he speaks about that we should abstain from fornication. Those matters that are close to our fleshly portion. You dear young believers that are at that age when you're courting. And you see, even at school, your classmates and the lustful ways in which they live. We as the children of God are instructed not to follow that way. And when we're tempted and we fall in those ways, you can believe those sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. Even all of you here this morning that have felt that you have fallen even in the lustful ways of the flesh, I want to assure all of you that Jesus died for those sins and you can believe them all forgiven this morning in Jesus' name and precious blood. So he says that we don't walk in the lust of concupiscence and even as the Gentiles, which know not God. So we can say that those people of this world, when they walk in those ways, that it might be appealing to our flesh, but our fleshly portion, if we follow after that, it's not going to lead us to heaven. That we know. It only leads us into sin. It leads us away from God and away from faith. And so it is that those that are not of the household of God, they don't understand. They don't have the Spirit of God. Certainly they might think that it's wrong and they try not to think about it. They just live their life and they're taught in this way that, well, if you're not mean to your neighbor, that's enough. As long as you don't harm your neighbor, that's enough. But we know as God's children that we're sinners and we're saved by God's grace. And so it is that the Apostle Paul is telling the believers. He wrote this letter to the believers. And he had to instruct them as we need to be instructed today. He says that we don't walk in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles. Concupiscence, I suppose that maybe there's a, in the center column here, there's a better translation of that. I think it's something to this. It says here that it's a personal desire. That we don't walk in that personal desire, that way that our flesh would want to go. But we want to walk according to what God's Word says. It says, because even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. I'm sure it's those of us that are the breadwinners of the family are more tempted in ways of defrauding our fellow man here on the earth. But God's Word says that we wouldn't go to be that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. We wouldn't want to defraud them of their home or family or the money that God has given them, or even if we could get away with it. Because we're the believers of God. We're the children of God. Yeah, we're sinners and we fall into sin, but God has given us His Spirit, and the Spirit wants to live in harmony with God's Word. So that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. So Apostle Paul is now explaining to those believers of Thessalonica, and we could say that God is reminding us today how we ought to walk as believers upon this earth. Putting sin away as it besets us. Endeavoring in faith. In harmony and at peace with God. Certainly the way of faith is a much more, what word could I use? Much more enjoyable travel. When our sins are forgiven, all our matters are well with God. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. So the Apostle Paul is telling those believers, that is as pertaining to the matter of love. He says that you're taught of God. He says, there's no need that I write unto you. When Timothy came to the Apostle Paul when he was in Thessalonica and he gave him the report of his stay there, he spoke of the love of the believers of Thessalonica. The love of God. The love of Christ. he felt that them, and that was one matter. He wanted Paul to understand that they have the love of God in their heart. They love one another. They are caring for one another in faith. They're forgiving one another as matters come up upon the way of faith and the journey of faith. And he says, indeed, you do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more, and that you study to be quiet, and that you do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we have commanded you, that you walk honestly towards them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. So he further encourages them to be civil, to be friendly, to be courteous to all people. God's Word speaks to us. It's such a rich Word. It has so many good instructions that if we could remember them all and live by that way, it would certainly make our life easier. But the Bible says, and I'm a poor one to use the instruction, even though it's such a good instruction unto me as a weak father. That instruction about love and how we should instruct. The Bible says about that a soft answer turneth away wrath. Somebody could be so angry. Our children, me as a father. If we could remember that good instruction from God's Word, that if we could just remember that the soft answer turneth away that wrath. It works. I haven't tried it too many times, and I hope that I could remember to use it more often. But that soft answer, it works. God's Word is a truthful Word in all points. And that you walk honestly toward them that are without, that you may have lack of nothing. Dear brothers and sisters, under the instruction of God's Word this morning, maybe you have felt as I, to be such a weak traveler, faltering and failing in so many ways. But you can believe. You have permission this morning to uplift your heart to believe. All your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. It's all washed away under the name and blood of Jesus. We don't need to journey with sin on our heart and conscience. Our topic this morning is prayer and faith. We pray for many things. Prayer is a tool that God has given to His children. That tool that we can express unto our Heavenly Father our worries, our trials. One of the gospel texts that I think it might be from another year was there was this man that came to Jesus and he had this son that was tormented by some evil temporal infirmity. And he came to the disciples of Jesus, those fellow brothers of ours that walked with Jesus upon this earth and his life. And he asked them to help him with his son. His son was often vexed by that evil, tormenting infirmity of life. And the disciples, they were powerless. And so this
This man went to Jesus and he went to explain. He says that I brought my son to your disciples and they weren't able to help me with this. And Jesus, he was able to heal that man's son. And then afterwards, the disciples asked that, why couldn't we do that? Remember the answer that Jesus gave. He says, this kind goeth not but by fasting and prayer. Certainly, I'm sure there's those mothers and fathers here this morning that have so wanted to preach unto their unbelieving children the gospel, the kingdom of God. You've so wanted them to believe it. And I'm sure you can understand that all we can do is pray. Pray unto God. And He's promised to hear your prayers. But dear brothers and sisters, let's not ourselves become so distraught over the unbelief of those loved ones, but we can pray on their behalf. Prayer is a tool that is, as we already mentioned, is often used in the believer's life. And I was thinking here this morning and coming here how oftentimes we pray and we don't even realize we're praying. But I was thinking as an example of a simple prayer. I've oftentimes flown in an airplane and when I leave the ground I oftentimes have that simple prayer that God protect us here. And if not, bring me to heaven. And oftentimes when that plane lands, I have that prayer that God bring us safely home. And if not, bring me safely to heaven. And one of the more recent times when I had that prayer, I thought as I was landing that, oh, how often I've had that prayer. And I've never remembered to thank God that He granted me a safe flight. And I thought that, you know, when I land, I'm going to remember this time to thank God. The plane landed and I got my luggage and I got off the plane and I was driving home and I thought, I forgot to thank God. Certainly our Heavenly Father has answered many prayers. And I'm sure you're not much different than I and you forgot to thank Him for His goodness. We have a rich Heavenly Father that answers many prayers. He answers them, and we can say that He answers all our prayers. He doesn't always answer them in the way that we think that it should be, but He answers them. Dear brothers and sisters, continue to believe in the mercy and grace of our Heavenly Father. We have a rich Heavenly Father. He has promised to guide you all the way to heaven. And maybe some of you elder brothers and sisters are at the twilight of life. And the devil is tempted even you. I oftentimes thought as a young boy that I can't wait until I'm older because then it'll be easier for me to believe that there won't be so many temptations. My mom and dad didn't seem like they had such temptations as I. But I found out that certainly the sin abounds in this world and it remains a temptation to a weak child of God. But you, dear elders, even at the twilight of life, when the devil comes to tempt you and tell you that you've made it so many years upon this way of faith, but now at the end it's going to be too hard for you. You're like, maybe it's like you're feel like you're riding upon that sea that has such great waves and it's closer to shore and you're going to crash. But dear brothers and sisters, Jesus is that, like that breaking wall that breaks those waves so you can safely enter into heaven. So this morning, dear brothers and sisters, no matter your trial or your temptation of faith, you can believe all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood and be joyful that you're a child of God and God has heard your prayer again that He's forgiven you your sins. All sins are atoned for and forgiven this morning in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. In Jesus' name, amen. And as a weak servant, dear brothers and sisters, I, under the light of these words this morning, in all points and ways, I feel like I've fallen. Will you forgive me? My desire is to believe along with you. Let us close our service this morning from the prayer that is written at the end of this book of 1 Thessalonians. From the 12th verse, let's read. And we beseech you, brethren, that you know them that labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient unto all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.